Praise the Lord, beloved. We thank the Lord for allowing us to be able to come together on this another Sabbath day. Actually, our first Sabbath day in the month of December, I believe. Amen. And as we enter this, what we call the Christmas season, I'm hoping and praying that everyone is always remembering the reason for the season. And I don't know about everyone, but maybe, and I say maybe, I don't know how the Lord's going to direct me one week or one Sunday to the other, even if he allows your humble servant to be in the midst. However, for this month of December, I believe we will be in the theme of Christmas in our messages. That's all I got for you right now. And that which the Lord has given me to give you for today. Having said that, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you, Lord, for always being so good and for being so good to us. And even for watching over us as we slumbered and slept through the night. And allow us to awaken today and be able to come together in this fashion, in this way, to be able to worship you and praise you and glorify you together, even though we're not physically together. Lord, we thank you for enabling us to be able to utilize this media to be able to medium to be able to at least see each other in this fashion. Lord, we're looking forward to you blessing your word today, Heavenly Father. And we are praying that you would indeed do that, that you will bless the words that you allow to come forth from my lips. Praying, Father, that you would allow them to go forth, reach the ears of those you would have them to reach, Heavenly Father, that they will hear them. Hear them, Heavenly Father, in this very spirit from which they're going forth. For we know that, yes, Satan is the prince of the power of the air, but Lord, you have all power. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless these words, Father, that they be the very words that you would have to go forth. But then, Heavenly Father, we know that they will yield fruit. They will yield fruit. They will not come back to you void. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will allow me, Lord, to be an instrument used in your hand today. Void of my pride and my ego and my vanity. Enable me, Lord, to say that which you would have to be said, even the way you would have it to be said. And praying, Lord, as always, that some soul will be edified, sanctified, and that you will be glorified. For this I do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. As we go right into our message today, beloved, like we stated, I believe that the Lord is going to have us through this month, stay in that Christmas theme. You know, there are many things that took place during the birth and leading up to the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Hope you all continue to pray for me. I'm dealing with a little cold this week. Yes, there are many things going on during Jesus' birth, things that we can focus on. Sometimes these things go forgotten, but they are important. And having said that, I'm going to ask that you, if you have your Bibles with you, that you turn with me to the Gospel of St. Matthew, the first chapter, the 18th and the 19th verses, and Luke, the first chapter, the 26th and the 27th verses. Of course, we will be referring to other passages of Scripture as we go along, but these are what I'd like for you to focus on as our textual verses today. Matthew, the first chapter, the 18th and the 19th verses. And I will be reading these today in the King James Version. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. And in Luke, the first chapter, the 26 and the 27 verses. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. We have read to you from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the first chapter, the 18th and the 19th verses, and the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, the 26th through the 27th verses. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. As we look at the Christmas story as written in the Holy Bible, it is usually this account written in the Gospel of Matthew that we just read, where our discussion about Joseph begins. There is not a whole lot said about Joseph in the scriptures, but that doesn't mean that there isn't a whole lot to be said about Joseph. Okay. Now, Joseph is more than just the man who was to be the husband of Mary. Joseph was a very important part of Jesus' history and prophecy. Having said that, by the way, let me give you our subject for today. Our subject for today is simply the Christmas story, Joseph. This is what our theme probably going to be about this month, the Christmas story. And today is going to be about Joseph, more than just an ordinary Joe. Joseph, more than just an ordinary Joe. Now, like I was saying, Joseph is more than just a man who was to be the husband of Mary. Joseph was a very important part of Jesus' history and prophecy. Now, of the four Gospels, only Matthew and Luke give us an account of Joseph, well, with the exception of John, where they mention that we refer to Jesus as the son of Joseph. Okay, they just say that in John, and you'll find that in the first chapter, the 45th verse, and the sixth chapter of John, the 42nd verse. Now, like I said, there's not a whole lot said about Joseph. Matter of fact, the last account we have of Joseph in the New Testament is found in Luke. It's found in Luke, the second chapter and the 48th verse. Y'all remember this. This is what it says. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Y'all remember, this is when they had started out, but Jesus had stayed back, and when they finally got a chance to look around, he wasn't there. It took them 3 days to go back and find him. To look around and find him, and they found him in the temple. Y'all remember the story. But this is the last time we hear Joseph's name mentioned in the New Testament. So there's not a whole lot said about Joseph. Okay. Now, like I said, there may not be a lot of things said about Joseph, but what is said about him has a lot of importance. A lot of importance. Now, as we look into our text for today, we're going to see that Joseph wasn't just some ordinary Joe. Okay, now as we look into Matthew, I don't intend to be long with you, But I want to cover a number of things, so I'm gonna move on with it. Okay. In our textual verse, we found in Matthew, the first chapter, 19 verse, it said, "Then Joseph, her husband." Now, I don't want anybody to be confused. This has been talked about through many, many years. Okay. We say, but wait a minute, there's one passage I read where it refers to Joseph here as her husband. Okay. But in other passages I read where it says Joseph was betrothed to her. Let us understand something. A lot of times we tend to interpret scripture as it applies to our culture, our society. But we need to understand that as far as cultures and nations and people go by, we're relatively new. Okay, we've only been around for a little bit better than a couple of hundred years, where you have some civilizations, some cultures have been around for maybe a couple of thousand years. At least a whole lot longer than United States have been, with us. And in this culture where Joseph and Mary were, when a woman becomes betrothed to a man, or and vice versa, the man is going to take this woman to be his wife. That's a serious matter. There are certain ways that that woman would dress from then on. Certain maybe articles of clothing she might wear or may not wear. I mean, depending upon exactly where she is being brought up at. And I'm not going to go into all of that, but the point I do want to bring across so that there's no misunderstanding. No, they were not sexually involved. That was not happening in their culture. That woman was supposed to be a virgin woman when they married. A man expected that, and that's the way, that was supposed to be. And secondly, being betrothed was so serious that if for some reason they ceased to go through with the complete marriage ceremony, a divorce was in order because they were bound. Once they became betrothed, they were bound to each other. I don't care if the woman found herself in the marketplace to buy something or going out to get water at a well. If another man came across her and could see by the way she was dressed, or even if they did engage her, most times they did not engage in conversation, but he may ask her something. And once he realizes she's betrothed, that will be the end. It will be the end of their conversation like that. Here in our society, here in the United States, where we become what we call engaged to another, a lot of times we signify that by wearing engagement rings. And if a man was to approach a woman going across, and he maybe found her to be a attractive, but once he noticed that she's wearing an engagement ring, that would stop that conversation. That's the way it's supposed to be. We're not gonna go deeper into that conversation. So, but the point is, that would signify, oh, she's taken. Okay. She's taken, and that would be the end of that if he was approaching her, in that type of manner. So here, even though you'll see in some passages or even in some text, the way it's translated or transliterated, you'll see husband, you'll see espoused, you'll see betrothed. Understand, this is a cultural thing. But the key thing to understand also is that when they were not shacking up, acting like they're married and they really weren't, that wasn't going on. Okay, the scriptures break that clear, and those who utilize different resources, they did some reading and study of the cultures of that area and of that time, You'll see the devils, the way things went. So it says, yeah, then Joseph, her husband. Okay. So we understand that there. Then it goes on continually in the 19th verse. We're looking at the 19th verse of the first chapter, which says, being a just man. Now, listen, it's safe to say that Joseph was a righteous and God-fearing man. Okay. I mean, look at how he dealt with the horrific news here of his betrothed being pregnant by someone besides him. Now, he knew he had not been to bed with Mary. Yet, he gets his news that she's pregnant. This is horrific. This is devastating. Now, because, I mean, folks knew, I guess he figured he knew he was not a scientist, he was not a doctor, or even a nurse. But he knew that for a woman to become pregnant, she had to be, have had relations with a man. And he knew he hadn't done that. Now, he didn't have to know who, but he knew it wasn't him. So this is terrible. Now, anybody would not be surprised to see if he just went off, start throwing things around. What? And just being all upset. But what we see in the scriptures, we don't see that in it. Matter of fact, what we do see as we continue to read, that it says for him not wanting to make her a public example. Now, let's pause for a second. Part of us said we can see some fruit of the spirit here. We can see some patience, some love, and some self-control. We can see these things being exhibited in Joseph. But some of us also say, wait a minute, we see some wisdom too. Because if she becomes a public spectacle, so does he. If he has to present to those who judge and say that this woman here has committed adultery. Here she is pregnant and I haven't done anything with her. Well, somebody may say, oh man, that that brings about death. She could be stoned to death. But somebody may raise the question, wait a minute, you say she's committed adultery. With who? With who? And at that point, Joseph would be kind of hard pressed to get folks to believe that it was the Holy Ghost that came upon her and got her pregnant. If that's what he wanted to do. Now, remember at this point, he's befuddled, okay, about this whole situation at this point now. So he's utilizing some wisdom as well. That I would have a lot of explaining to do, and so would she. If I brought her before those who judge in manners like this, okay. So, as we continue to read it, it says here, I think I'm going to do this privately. I'm going to do this secretly, because it's going to come out. I mean, we can't hide this, and it's going to come out. And I mean, yes, I know the folks are behind my back, even some as I walk by there snickering and they're laughing at me, and some are saying that, hey, he couldn't just wait until they got married. And those who don't know was, that it wasn't me. And it's just going to be a whole lot of things that's out there, and my shoulders are kind of broad. I could take what they're saying about me, that I got fooled by this woman, and they said I could take all of that, but she's going to be put to death. She will be put to death, and I do love her, and I don't want that to happen. So we'll see. I'll divorce myself from her But I won't make a big spectacle of it with the public. I'll do it privately. That's what I'll do. But unbeknownst to Joseph, he is getting ready to have a series of dreams. Okay, the Lord is going to be dealing with Joseph. Got to let him understand and know what's going on. Okay, and he has to know that this is coming from God. So he's going to have four dreams, and three of them, the first three, he's going to be visited by an angel to let him know what's going on. And you'll see the first account of that, this first dream in Matthew, the first chapter. If you go on down a little bit further to the 21st verse, this is what you'll find there. But while he thought on these things, like I said, he's thinking about putting her aside privately, and oh, it's just a whole lot of thoughts going through his mind. Behold, now while he's thinking about this, getting it together in his mind, how he's going to handle this, what he's going to do about this, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and saying this, Joseph, now watch this, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this came to Joseph in his dream. Now I don't want you to forget this. Now I'm gonna relay all of the dreams to you, but I don't want you to forget this. Keep this in your mind. What we just read there. If you have your Bible in front of you, read it again. I'll read it again one more time for the benefit of those who might be driving or just don't have their Bibles with them for whatever reason. I want you to hear this one more time. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, this was the first dream that David had. Okay, this made things calm in his spirit, in his mind, to know that one, Mary didn't lie to him. Two, Mary did not step out on him with some other guy. Okay. And three, okay, what she is carrying, the child that she is carrying, is blessed, is indeed the Messiah that they have been taught about since they can remember. Their fathers talked about it. So yes, all right, that gave him some peace. All right. Now, time goes by, maybe even a couple of years. Okay, Herod, King Herod is going around killing babies. Okay. In search of Jesus. He's afraid of him. He's heard of the prophecies about Jesus, and he wants to get rid of him. If he figured he's a baby at this time, if he's still around, he's killing the male babies. Now watch this. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. This is the second dream. You'll find this in Matthew, the second chapter, the 13th verse. Okay. And it said, the angel said to him, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now, you should be pausing for a moment. Now, for those people who just said, okay, well, Joseph is Joseph, this ain't no ordinary Joe. This man has angels coming, speaking to him. in this dream. Do you hear what we're saying? And he's not only is the angel speaking to him. Joseph is hearing this and obeying what the angel is conveying to him. Don't overlook this. Don't overlook this. For him to be able to consider doing these things, he had to believe. He had to believe. He got to get his wife and young child and get them over to Egypt. Now, I could pause here. I can take off on another road. I know I could. Some of y'all say, well, wait a minute. These people must have been at least some people of some color, because if they're going to Egypt to blend in, that would be like sending maybe an Oriental or a Caucasian people to try to hide out in Harlem in the 30s and 40s or something. You ain't gonna hide there, you know. That ain't gonna happen. You'll stick right out. But in any case, you know, like I said, I'm not gonna go down that road with that, but we could. So this is the first dream. Okay, God is revealing to Joseph what's going on. You have a right to know this, Joseph. Yes, the child your wife is carrying is of the Holy Ghost. And it is indeed, okay. It is indeed Jesus. You're going to name him. And when he heard that name, he probably, we say Jesus, probably was Yeshua, okay. And in any case, oh my God, you know, and he knows this is the Lord speaking to him. So he felt good about that. Secondly, he got wind. The angel of the Lord is letting him understand that, listen, the king is out trying to destroy your child. Take him to Egypt. Him and your wife, take them to Egypt so that y'all can be safe, and I'll get word back to you. Now, I want you to get that. Don't miss that. He's speaking to him in the dream and telling him, I'm going to come back and let you know when it's time to come back. Now, things are in progress. Things are moving. Now, if Joseph don't know anything else, he knows that he's going to be in Egypt for a while and he's going to get word to come back. So I don't know how long that's going to be, but until that time comes, he doesn't have to worry about a thing. He knows that he's going to be kept. He knows that God is with him because, one, he's carrying with him the young child Jesus, and two, he's been assured that word is going to come back to him, and three, he's going to be told that he's going to be able to come back. To be able to come back. So that's telling him some things. And so he could be saying, I hope you don't come back to me for 50 more years. At least I know I'm going to live for 50 years. No, I'm just throwing that out there. That was me. That's not in the scripture. Okay. All right. So we got two visits. Now, third visit, third dream. Now, listen to what it says in Matthew, the second chapter, the 19th. Through the 21st verse, I want you to hear this. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Doesn't get any plainer than that. Okay. Angel said that I'll get back to you. Angel got back to him, told him it was all right to come on back. Okay. So you come on back to Israel. You can leave Egypt now and come on back to Israel. Now watch this. I don't want you to miss this here too. You need to, you done told me to watch something else to hold on to. I hold on to this too. Don't let it go. Okay, now he's on his way back, but watch this. When he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, He was afraid to go thither. He was afraid to go back. So, being warned of God in a dream, he said, "Wait a minute, it's not the same word. It didn't say the angel came and gave me." Oh, but listen to what it says: being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. He didn't go back the same way that he left. He didn't come back in that way. Okay, now watch what happens. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. Oh, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Do y'all see what's going on here? Do you see how prophecies come to be? How they come forth? And like I said, I could go down. We can go down so many roads with these few passages of scripture that we've read. Because some of you are saying right now, well, wait a minute, if Jesus was considered to be a Nazarite, there are certain things that Nazarites had to do and could not do. Oh, that would take us down another path, but we're not going down that path. We're staying right where we're at. Okay. Now you found those in Matthew, the second chapter, the 22nd and the 23rd verses. That's the four word of fourth dream you'll find it at. In the second chapter, in the 22nd and the 23rd verses. Okay, I'm about finished, y'all. I'm about finished, y'all. Y'all, bear with me a couple more minutes, and we're gonna be done. Okay, now listen. If you remember, I stated earlier that Joseph was of historical and prophetical importance. Remember when I read Luke, the first chapter, the 26 and the 27 verses as part of our text for today? Well, these verses, along with Isaiah, help show what I mean when I talk about prophetical and historical points about Jesus. Now, watch this. In Isaiah, the ninth chapter, the sixth and seventh verse, I got to read this for you. We're talking, now I want you to, I notice it might be a little bit different for some of you. Okay. All right. For some of you say, well, I can't get no shout off of this. I don't know why not. If you saved, especially if you love the Lord, this is hallelujah good news. Because you're finding out way back in Isaiah. Now watch what it says way back in Isaiah, the ninth chapter, in the sixth and seventh verse. I want you to hear this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now get this in the seventh verse. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Wow. What a promise. What a promise. Right there. Right there in front of our eyes. Way back in the Old Testament. Prophesying about Jesus. But I'm not done yet. I'm going to give you one more passage there, and then I'm getting ready to be. I'm almost done. You'll find this in the Isaiah 11th chapter. There's a few scriptures now, a few verses. First through the fifth verses, but you need to hear this. Now watch this. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. You'll find that in Isaiah 11 chapter, the first to the fifth verses. Beloved, there are so many, several prophecies right here in this passage, right here. But the one that I want to point out is right there, what we read in the first verse. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. This is talking about Jesus. How do I know? We know that Jesus is from the lineage of David. Who was David's father? Jesse. Oh, y'all don't want to hear this. Y'all don't want to hear this. Okay? Listen, I'm saying this here, y'all, and I'm going to be done. I'm going to be done. To a virgin. Now watch this in Luke, the first chapter and the 27th verse. Okay, you'll read this. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Joseph of the house of David. My. Well, when we read in Matthew, the first chapter, the first dream, I know this didn't get by anybody. I hope it didn't. Do you remember what we read? It said this. I got to come back to it. Like I said, I'm about finished. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord, this is the first dream now, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, what does it say? Joseph, thou son of David. When you see that written like that, it said, it doesn't mean he was literally his son. It means he's from the lineage of David. He's from his lineage. And that's where he comes from. He would have been in order even if he said, thou son of Jesse. That would have still been in order. But this is where he's telling them, Joseph, you're from the line of David. You're one of his children. You're one of the sons of David. You see how the historical and prophetical impact Joseph had? He wasn't just some ordinary Joe. Lord didn't just pick him, Mary. Yeah, you're the one that's important here. It could be anybody that you espouse to. It doesn't matter because you're the one. You're the key figure here. But no, this has to line up. This has to line up. This has to line up prophetically as well as historically. And it does. It does. He wasn't an ordinary Joe. Joseph was a very pivotal key figure in the birth of Jesus. We don't emphasize a lot about Joseph, but we do. And I want to say this here. Okay, now there's a lot of things to talk about when it comes to Joseph. Like I said, he wasn't an ordinary Joe. He was part of David's lineage and thus became part of the prophecy of Jesus' birth. Now, I also want to note something to you that maybe y'all picked this up and maybe you didn't. We often imagine what Joseph was going through, okay, to find out this news about his beloved, about his fancy, his fiance, his betrothed. Okay, this would have been devastating. like we said, horrific news. All right. If word gets out amongst people, it'll get into the marketplace. Okay. They didn't have Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and all this stuff out there. So the marketplace where people gathered, people talked. They passed news, not just gossip. That's where they found out about a lot of things. Because they didn't have newspapers and all of that. So this is where they found out stuff. Okay. And all you need is one other person and that's it. It'll spread. And Joseph didn't want that to happen. So we've already went over that. So it was a lot going on. But have y'all noticed the one thing about Joseph that very few people bring out? You don't see any written account of Joseph saying anything. You see conversations between Mary and Gabriel. You see conversations through many people in the scriptures with different angels, even with God himself and with the Lord. But you don't see that with Joseph. There's no written account of Joseph saying anything. And some of you are saying right now, oh man, I never really thought about that. I just threw that out there for free. No charge. Just a little bit of Joseph trivia to let you know that with all the impact that Joseph has and had, we don't hear a single thing from his lips. Something about that phrase, action speaking louder than words, isn't it? Even when the angel conversed with Joseph, I mean, spoke to him, it was in a dream. In a dream. Wow. Not no ordinary Joe, was he? Joseph was not an ordinary Joe. Great man of importance. A just man. I would dare say a righteous man, a God-fearing man. For him to exhibit the type of fruit that he did, I don't have a question about his integrity, his character. So as we talk about the Christmas story this year, don't leave Joseph out. Don't make him to be like just some ordinary Joe. Oh yeah, don't be saying, oh, he's just Mary's husband. He was more than that. In the Christmas story, Joseph was not just an ordinary Joe. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Yeah, you say, some of you are saying, well, this is not the message I thought that I was going to get. Well, it is what the Lord seems to want us to get. I don't know if he's going to give us more like this, but we'll see what the Lord does. In any case, God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you.